They don't put mics for a Kyle guy. We don't get. We're not Zeika. But I'm sure most of you are wondering how is it that the Mishmar, the last Thursday night before Rosh Hashanah, less than 24 hours away from Rosh Hashanah, what on earth am I doing up here? And I can honestly tell you, I have no idea. I'm not sure why I'm here. From my understanding, there was some sort of miscommunication, some sort of mistake. The speaker that was supposed to come couldn't make it. So the Kyle had to dig deep into their farm system. And they went to single A, got the ball boy from the side to come up and hopefully give a little bit of a, we could have a little Osiris. But one thing I can say is that I have a question to tell you, up until this point, I don't know if I should advertise this, I'm for sure guilty as charged, but most speakers, you know, they start off, you know, I really don't feel comfortable speaking in front of such a crowd, and I don't feel like I'm Roy. So I used to brush it off, you know. I used to say, yeah, I'm sure, right? You know? But I can honestly say that I feel completely unworthy of being up here at this moment. And I'm not doing it because I'm supposed to be here. I'm just doing it because I have my duties to fulfill and a paycheck to make. And Mirza Shem. Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says in Tehillim in regards to the Shofar, he says, Ashrei Ha'am Yada Trua. Praiseworthy is the nation, Yodei Trua, that understands the concept of a Trua. Hashem Bar Panecha Yaleichun, and the walk in the light, in the presence, the countenance, whatever that means, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the simple understanding, the cursory level understanding of the pasuk is that David HaMelech is extolling Klal Yisrael, that they have the mitzvah of Shofar, they have this secret weapon in battle. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah, they may adin. We're approaching, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be sitting Al Kisei Adin. And each one of us is going to come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibnei Marai, and he's going to paskin. What's going to be? Ezel Rov, Ezel Visa, Ezel Cherev, B'mayim, Ba'esh. But there's one secret weapon the Chazal tell us. The Shofar, through the power of the Shofar, Klal Yisrael has an ability to transcend somehow the din, the Yemei Adin, to come out in a, and hopefully, Mr. Shem, in a positive light. But I saw in many Svarim, not just one, many Svarim really asked the same question. They're all bothered by the verbiage that David HaMelech uses in the pasuk. He says, Ashrei Ha'am Yoidei Trua. Praiseworthy is the nation, Yoidei, that understands the Trua. Baal Shem Bar Panecha Yaleichun. And I saw, and Siva Shalom, Baal Shem Tov, I saw plenty of Svarim ask the question, that you would think that really the proper terminology in the pasuk should have been Asher Am Asher Shemeya Tfila Shatrua or Asher Am Sheesh Shofar. I don't know exactly what the pasuk should have said, but he doesn't say that the praiseworthy is Klal Yisrael because they have a Shofar. That's not what the pasuk says. Praiseworthy is the nation who understands what a Trua is about, and he seems to be alluding to what the secret of what a Shofar is. What exactly does David HaMelech mean when he says, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua? And furthermore, I think maybe we could ask in a more general sense, this is not necessarily tied to the Shofar, but we all know that the Yom Tov, not how it's referred to in the Torah, but how we refer to the Yom Tov, is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh literally means the head of the year, the beginning of the year. Everything is tied to the beginning. But the terminology Rosh seems to be a little bit weird. Literally means the head. You would think Haschol Hashanah, Tchil Hashanah, Reishis Hashanah, the beginning of the year. What exactly were Chazal trying to highlight in the concept and the name Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year? So I saw the Baal Shem Tov brings down a Mar de Gamashal. Baal Shem Tov says there was once a city that was pretty weak. The people were weak and feeble. They didn't have the proper war tactics. They didn't have the necessary means to fight off and ward off any enemies that came to besiege the city. So they hired a security team, right? They hired the person to stand outside with his gun, the babysitter with the toy gun, as they call him, right? To sit there and to protect them. And this guy was the, I don't know what you call him, I guess he was the Babe Ruth of security guards. I don't know, for a better marshal, yeah? He was the top notch. No one was ever able to beat this guy. No matter what happened, no matter who came to attack the city, he somehow managed to ward them off. And every year, they would pay their price, they would pay it up front, and this deal went on for a number of years. And slowly but surely, the city got a certain sense of security from this guard that was there protecting the city. And the Baal Shem Tov says, but what happened was that one year, there was a number of enemies that came to besiege the city. And for once, the security found its match. It was one time that the security, the personnel, whatever it was, they couldn't deal with the threat. And as the security guard saw where this was going and how it was heading downhill, and this wasn't heading in the right direction, and that if he didn't do something drastic immediately, then the city is going to fall prey to the enemies. So he blew the siren. He blew the siren to wake up the residents of the city and to call them to war and tell them to come fight the war. I can't do this alone. But the unfortunate reality, the Baal Shem Tov says, was that no one came to the calling. Because you see, he says what happened was that they got so comfortable with the security. They were felt so dependent upon the security guard that over the course of the years, they themselves forgotten what it means and how to fight. And therefore, when the siren went off and he was screaming that, guys, we need help. If we don't, we're all going to fall. No one was able to come and help them because they just didn't know how to fight. The Baal Shem Tov says that is what the Pasuk said means. Ashrei ha'am yodei trua. Praiseworthy is a nation that understands what a trua is. And I think the nimshal is pretty obvious. You know, so often in life, when we go through life, we become so dependent on other people to help us become the person that we want to be. Whatever it may be, whatever we want to do, we each have a desire to grow. And every single Rosh Hashanah, we stand at the beginning of the year and we make Kabbalahs and we make commitments. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. And I don't know about you, but I can talk for myself. Pretty much, more often than not, I can say that I stand by the next Rosh Hashanah. And when I look at the year in hindsight and I look in the rearview mirror, I'm not too impressed with my results. Baal Shem Tov says, because you know what it is? He says, because if you want to succeed in life, if you want to be great, if you want to change, you want to improve, you can't leave your life in other people's hands. You have to take control of your own life. You have to be in the driver's seat. When you leave and you depend on other people, you know, it hit me as I was preparing the speech. You know, I said, I am subject of this very speech. I need Baruch Hashem this year building a sukkah for the first time. And I am completely clueless in how to build a sukkah. And just in case anyone didn't know, a little PR over here, there are two engineers in the sukkah. One, his name is Rabbi Eisman. The other one's name is Rabbi Ullman. One of his 15 hats that he wears, he's an engineer. And they're sitting there fighting about exactly how to build the frame. Is it going to pull down my roof? Is my house going to crumble? Is the sukkah going to crumble? Whatever it is. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, I call up Rabbi Eisman. I said, listen, Shimmy, I need to go to Home Depot. I got to build my sukkah. We're going to go tonight. I'm waiting for the phone call the whole night. It doesn't come, right? Next night, we're going to go tonight. Next night, doesn't go, right? And me and Dovid Jacobson are in the same boat. We're all hinging on Rabbi Ullman and Rabbi Eisman to take us to Home Depot and tell us which brackets to buy, which 2x4s to buy, right? Which screws the workers are on a first name basis with Rabbi Eisman and Rabbi Ullman, right? We all know that you want to go to Home Depot, you're going with it. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here, we're a day before Rosh Hashanah, I haven't yet stepped foot in Home Depot, have not bought one 2x4. And the other day, last night, if not 2 nights ago, Dovi Jacobson comes over to me and he says, you know, Ruben, he's like, I'm going to Home Depot. I'm going. You want to come? I said, no, Dovi, don't be a fool. You go yourself, you're going back 40 times. You go with Rabbi Eisman, you go with Rabbi Ullman, you go back 15 times, right? So I said, I'm not going. But what's the point? The point is that Dovi Jacobson currently right now has a 2x4. Mind you, it's the wrong one. But he at least has a 2x4. I'm sitting here the day before Rosh Hashanah, and I don't have a single thing in my arsenal, right? I don't have a single thing to help me build the sukkah because I'm so dependent on Rabbi Eisman and Rabbi Ullman to walk and take me by the hand to lead me like a little child through Home Depot, showing me what a screw is and what a nail is, what a hammer is, so I could build a frame. But the Baal Shem Tov says that if you want to grow in life, you can't leave your life in other people's hands. Zakh the Baal Shem Tov, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Teshuva. Praiseworthy is the nation that when they hear the shofar, they hear the battle cry of Klal Yisrael, they hear that secret weapon, and they know how to respond to that call. They understand that when Rosh Hashanah is here, we have to stand here and we have to commit and we have to make change. And I can't keep letting my life be dependent on other people. I can't wait for that speech to inspire me and bring me up to who knows where. I can't wait for Rabbi Olman to call me up from the kollel and beg me to come and take a chavrusa for 20 minutes. Life is full of opportunities. But if we sit there and we wait for someone to take us by the hand, the unfortunate reality is that whether it be in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years down the line, you're going to be looking at the same person in the mirror as you were 10 years prior. Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Teshuva. Praiseworthy is the nation that understands how to answer the call of the shofar. When Rosh Hashanah comes and we're about to go to the Yom HaDin, are we prepared to take new commitments in life? Are we prepared to push ourselves a little bit? But more importantly, are we prepared to take on a battle? Because the reality of life is a challenge, and it's full of battles. Ki seitze l'malcham alivecha, Chazal tell us, is a pasuk, it's not simply referring to the mortal enemy. Ki seitze l'malcham alivecha is a reference to the Klal Yisrael's fight against the Yetzer Hara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you go to war and you battle, I will give you the siyata d'shmaya to win. But what are the key words? What is the opening pasuk? Ki seitze l'malchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't do it for you. If you want to accomplish something in life, you have to wage battle. Ki seitze, you have to go out. You have to take the initiative. You have to sit in the driver's seat of your life and stop depending on other people to do it for you. And that's one amazing quote I remember once hearing. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. If you want to be something in life, if you want to accomplish, if you want to grow and you want to steig and you want to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't depend on other people to bring you there. Another example, again, I don't know if this is boding in good light for me. The other week, last week actually, my wife asked me to put something. My wife, Baruch Hashem, I was there with my wife who does all the laundry. Okay. I don't do that. I did it as a bacher. Yeah, but married. She asked me to put something in the dryer. I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but. And I went to the dryer and I put it in. And I could not figure out for the life of me how to turn on the dryer. And I'm sitting there and you would think that I'm like, I don't know. I thought like I was a Pollock or something. I'm like sitting there and I'm like, what do I do? What setting do I put it on? Do I put it on 15, 20, high speed, high press? What are all these buttons? I don't know what's going on. It's just press on, off. In yeshiva, you put the quarters in, you bang it a couple times, you hope that it spins and it dries, right? And you move on. I don't know what comes there. But the answer is that what again? Because I became so dependent on my wife, Baruch Hashem, I was Zaycha, that she always does it, that I never once thought about how to do it. And when the time came that I needed to step up to the plate, I wasn't able to do so. But the truth is that it's really a little bit more. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us, Ba'ar b'prokim nidan ha'olam. Right? Pesach, Ateres. It says that there's four different judgments during the year. On Pesach, on Ateres, the Peres, the Tevuah, Uber Rosh Hashanah, Holk on the front of Kibnei Marin. Klal Yisrael walks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Kibnei Marin, whatever the explanation is, three different explanations. Common denominator, one at a time in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Shapiro points out something unbelievable. He says that if you look at the Mishnah says that there are four times, four different Rosh Hashanahs. There are four different judgment days during the year, throughout the course of the year. Al Pesach al Tevuah.
On Peirs. Pesach.
No one knows, so it's good. Yeah? Al Pesach is one, right? Al Tvua on the terrace is another one. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah switches the language. Uber Rosh Hashanah doesn't say anything. It just says Uber Rosh Hashanah Holchin Lafanav Kibnei Marin. And Rav Moshe Shapiro asks, he says, hold on a second. Out of all these 4 days that you listed in the Mishnah, which one stands out the most? Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin. Yet the Mishnah makes zero reference to the Yom HaDin. All it says is, and on Rosh Hashanah, Kal Yisrael walks in front one at a time. And he says something so powerful. He says that, the truth is, he says that, at least I don't know about you, grew up, Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMavis, Psuchim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's the day of reckoning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits there and he looks back at your chart to see, you did mitzvahs, how many avodas, wait, put it on the scale, figure it out, and hopefully we daven that we come out with a favorable judgment. But he says that's not really what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is. He says, Hayoyim haras oylam. Rosh Hashanah is the day that the world was created. More specifically, it was the day that Adam HaRishon was created. He says, Ubay bayayim. He says, Adam HaRishon was Yechidi. He says, when Adam HaRishon was created, he was single. He was an individual. There was no one there beside him. He was the nucleus, the blueprint of what humanity was going to be. Everything from humanity sprouted forth from Adam HaRishon. Ramay Shashmira says, you know what the Mishnah is telling you? You know what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is? It's not just simply put the mitzvahs and averus on the scale and weigh them out. He says the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Holchin Lafanav Kibnei Marin. Today is Hayoyim Haras Olam. On Rosh Hashanah, the world is being rebuilt. And guess what? Each person is done as if, and he's judged as if he is the only individual that's existing in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and he says, are you the person that I want to build humanity from? Are you the person that I want to build Klal Yisrael? Are you someone that I can depend on to build and to be and to create the world that I want and I desire? Do you meet the criteria necessary? And that's the judgment. And Rav Shapiro explains that he says that it's a pretty sombering message. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think that if you were to pose that question to me, I could give a resounding no. I am definitely not the person you want to build humanity from. He says, but on the other hand, Rav Shapiro says, he says that the message that the Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah is telling you, he's telling you that look at the power of what an individual is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that if you want to accomplish in life, there's one thing you have to realize. Step one, recognize who you are and what you're capable of being. Because without that, you're not going to go to any battle. And Rav Moshe Shapiro is telling us that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and you're standing there, we're looking for a way to be Zeicha B'din. He's teaching us that we have to take the initiative in life and we have to take the steering wheel. We can't keep depending on other people. If we want to be great, we have to start. And we can't depend on other people to take us by the hand and lead us and convince us and inspire us. Yes, obviously that helps. But ultimately, the course of who we are and the trajectory of our lives is dependent on us. But more importantly, Rav Moshe Shapiro says that if you really want to accomplish something in life, you have to recognize who you are and what you're capable of being. And that inside of each and every single person in Klal Yisrael has the capability, has the yicholis to rebuild the world. We all have the capability to stand there on a Rosh Hashanah and face a judgment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he can look at us and he can say, yes, you are the person we need to rebuild Klal Yisrael. You are the person we need to ensure that there's a continuity over here. You're the person we need to ensure that Klal Yisrael becomes the Klal Yisrael that I envision it being. And Yemir Hashem, with these 2 points, when we face the Yom HaDin, you know, the Nesiv Shalom brings down from the base of Ram, he says, and how is it that we circumvent the Din on Rosh Hashanah? What's the secret? You know, most of us aren't perfect throughout the year. He says, because if you could stand in front of Rosh Hashanah and you could tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a different person. The person you're judging doesn't exist anymore. The person you're judging from last year who made those mistakes and fell, he died. Today I'm a new person. Hayayim Haras Olam. Adam Nivra Yechidi. Today I'm the only person in humanity and I'm a new person. I'm willing to take on the challenges in life because I'm not waiting for someone to come take me by the hand. I'm going to take it and I'm going to use the potential inside of me to make a difference in Klal Yisrael, to make a difference in my life, in my family, in my community. I'm going to take the initiative to become somebody in life and to do something. And with that, we should all be Zeicha, Yemir Hashem, to Ksiva v'chasima taiva, a Guga Meshriyar, a year for Nachas, Mazel, Bracha, Hatzlacha, Yir Shemayim, Hatzlacha, and Aliyah, and Torah. And we should only have Besuras Taivis and Yemir Hashem in this coming year. We should be, the Kailal should be new building, old building, I'm not sure which one they want to bring, but whichever one they want to bring should be in Eretz Yisrael. And we should celebrate Yemir Hashem, the Yom Tovim, together with Gantz Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim, Yemir Yaminu, Amen. Amen.